Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
So how many people have never met me before? A few of you. Well, I'm your pastor.
Luke, I am your father.
So do you want to hear a funny story? Just happened last night. I'm still LOLing and I need to share it with you. So you know that my husband just turned 50. Yes, which is exciting. I'm married to a 50-year-old. And last night, my daughter Zoe, who's 8, she loves infomercials. Loves them. And she can quote every, like, if there is a need, she'll be like, "Mom, if you just buy the brownie divider, you can, like, you won't have to worry about getting it." Like, she knows all the infomercials. So last night she walks into our bedroom as we're getting ready for bed, and my hubby's in his boxer shorts getting ready for bed, and he's not wearing a t-shirt. And she walks in and she goes, "Dad, you know, I just saw on the TV a guy who said, I'm over 50 and I have a body like this. I have ripped abs." And she goes, "Dad, if you buy this particular, you can have ripped abs." So I thought that was funny. My Zozo, the TV generation. So good to hang out with you guys. What do I want to say? Except you have the best campus pastors in the entire Solarverse. I had to make up a new galaxy to even fit them in. Amazing. I want you to know that I spend a lot of time with these guys midweek. They're always championing you, fighting for you, talking about how much they love you. I think one of the greatest gifts to any human's life is a good shepherd and a great pastor. And Drew and Emma, I love you. Not only are you incredible friends, but it is just a joy to be your pastor and to see the incredible work that you've done here. So, so proud of you. These guys were interns 7 or 8 years ago, and now they're campus pastors, and you're doing a magnificent job. We love you, the church loves you, and Jesus loves you. And isn't that a wonderful thing? Somebody say amen. Amen, amen. I'm going to ask my wonderfully devoted and loyal friends down the back there if you wouldn't mind turning the lights down just a wee bit on me so I can see the faces of these beautiful people a little bit better. I don't want to ruin your bit down there or anything, but it just makes it so nice. I'm always messing with them. Let's give a hand to the guys in the box back there. Jose. We have a Jose. And it makes us even better than most churches. The Jose factor. Yes, yes, it does. And the Lindsay factor. Yeah. All right. Time to come around the word. Oh, I got to tell you one more thing that's exciting that you need to know. I'm almost an official American. But a few weeks away. After 12 years and thousands of dollars, we are super, super close. I am but one test away from being an official American. They took my biometrics, my fingerprints, so, you know, failing me coming up as Interpol's most wanted. I too will be an American like you, probably the next time you see me. So that's good news. God bless America. All right. You're all staring at me like she's strange. It's going to get worse, okay? It's going to get a whole lot worse. All right, so here's what I thought. I thought, okay, as we come into this new era of a new building, inevitably we're going to have new people joining, kind of checking us out. It would be a really good time for us to talk about who we are. Because I'm a true believer that if the right kind of church can produce the right kind of Christian, we can literally change our city. But here's what happens. We come into cities and we go about, you know, proclaiming the good news of the gospel and building the church. But oftentimes churches fail to be the culture setters or the culture shifters, and they come under the culture that has been set for them by the city. But we're called to live above. Can somebody say amen? We're not called to conform to the culture or the spirits that preside over our city, but we're called to bust through them and set a kingdom culture. Can somebody say amen? All right, turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 2. We're going to start reading at verse number 2. And it's going to come up on the screen for those of you that don't have a Bible with you this morning. It says this: in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be the highest of all. That's the church, y'all. It's a church. Somebody say hallelujah. Say something Christian. Good. All right. The most important place on earth. It will be raised above the other hills, the other cultures, the other ways of doing things, the other presiding spirits, and people from all over the world will stream there to worship. People from many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. I wonder if you've thought about what kind of church we need to be like in order to hear that confession from people, where they're actually saying, let us go up to the house of the Lord, where it's a place that they're excited to get to instead of begrudging, oh, geez, it's Sunday. All right. Let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob's God. There he will teach us his ways. Somebody say his ways. His ways. I'll ask you again, whose ways?
His ways.
Our ways?
His ways?
That's right, good. And we will walk in his paths. For the Lord's teaching will go out from Zion, his word will go up out from Jerusalem. Glory, hallelujah. All right. So I put together a message today. Really what I wanted to do, and some of you are stumbling into C3 San Diego for the first time, and I firstly want to say we are so glad you're here. We are so glad you're here. We are always looking to make our family larger. And what we were missing was you. So we're glad you came here today. But I wanted to talk about some of the cultures that makes up the church of C3 San Diego. Like, who are we? How do we maybe differ from other churches that you've been to? And it's important for some of us who have been in a relationship for a while as a church family, or some of us who are kind of just starting the dating process, for you to know what you're getting into. So are you ready? You ready? All right, all right. Just a little bit more enthusiasm. Come on, because... like I'm quite needy in that way. All right, so I'm going to talk about a couple of cultures that I believe God is wanting us to really model as his church, heaven's ambassadors in the city of Chula Vista. You ready? Okay, the first one. We have a culture of acceptance that empowers change. Okay, I'm going to take a minute to explain this. Because sometimes there are some Christians that freak out over the word acceptance. Like, oh, if I accept somebody and they're a little bit messy and they're massively dysfunctional and they're a little bit crazy, then does it mean that I'm validating them in their sin? All right, good question. Let me answer it. So the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 15 that the prodigal son came home to the father. And as he was coming home, the Bible says that the father saw him from a long way off. And isn't that great? Faith sees you coming when you're a long way off. But then the Bible says that the father sees the son, runs to him, throws his arms around him, kisses him on his neck, which is very Shakespearean. And then comes in and the process of transformation begins. But can I talk about the fact that the prodigal son inevitably came back to the father's house, covered in pig slop, stained, with all kinds of worldly residue on him. So here's the thing. Not all of us have been raised in Christian homes with a mum and dad who loved us and who took us to church every Sunday. In fact, we are living in the most unchurched, biblically illiterate time of all time. So we're going to be in a world that's massively messy. So you're going to find in C3 San Diego that we're going to have a culture of acceptance. We're going to take you as you are. Come on in. Bring them in. That means we're going to have to get good at sitting next to someone that may make us feel a little bit awkward. that may come in covered in the pig's lap like the prodigal. But we have a love and an acceptance that empowers people to go on their journey of transformation with God. So the father welcomes in the son in his pig slop state, but he doesn't go, come on, son, let's take you through life stinking up every environment you're in. He actually does something about it. He says, you know what, to his servants, which is you and I, bring the best robe and put it on him. In other words, love accepts, but love also empowers people toward positive change and transformation in Jesus' name. So it means that we accept people as they are, but we get engaged in their mess. We're not afraid in their mess. Do you know the kind of world that we live in? A world that where Facebook now boasts 52 genders. Jesus wasn't lying when he spoke in the book of Matthew as he looked out at the crowds, and the Bible says he was moved with compassion because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. C3 San Diego, we have got the answer for what ails the world. It's called acceptance that leads people on a powerful journey of change. And listen, you might find people in church in various states of their progress, and you can't judge their progress because you don't know where they started. Okay? And here's what I do know, that transformation does take time. Even though the work of putting on the robe of righteousness was a quick work, sometimes it takes time for our minds to catch up with what's taken place in our spirit. Okay, so here we have the prodigal. He's messed up, he's stained, he's got this new thing on. And it's taking him time to figure out his true identity. He is a son of his father. Do you remember the scripture in the Bible where Jesus encounters the rich young ruler? I just love it, and I think we can lose the brilliance of it sometimes because the Bible says that this rich young ruler came to Jesus, and he was talking about all the wonderful things that he did, but inevitably, because he lives on planet Earth, he's going to have some residue, okay, living in a broken world. But what I love about Jesus is the Bible says that Jesus, looking at the man, loved him and said, "One thing you lack." That tells me that our transformation progress sometimes will be a little bit slow because Jesus deals with one thing at a time. You know, sometimes we think, well, people should just come in and get it next week. But it takes time. How nice is Jesus? I'm certain that there was not just one thing that that guy lacked, but Jesus knew he could only handle one thing at a time. So don't mind the rest of us if we come in with a little bit of residue, an accent from our former life that takes time for the Holy Spirit to work out. Can somebody say amen? So we got to get good at accepting people. So we're not a church that's going to police you. You know those churches where everybody gets all up in each other's business? You know how Jesus said, he said, don't look at the speck in the eye of your brother. Instead, deal with the massive big redwood that's sticking out of your own eyeball. Okay? So you got churches that have a dress code. Thou shalt not wear a bikini. Listen, I think the only mantra you need to kind of really consider when wearing a bikini is dress for the body you have, not the body you want. That's not in the Bible. Should a Christian wear a bikini? Depends on the size of the Christian. I don't think Jesus cares, quite personally. They're freaking out about strapless tops. My gosh, it's hot in Chula Vista. Calm the heck down, people. You know what? I love the scripture. Jesus is about to ascend to heaven and he's walking with his disciples. These guys finally got it over there. And Peter's all up in his grill going, Jesus, what's going to happen to John? Tell me. What are you going to do with him? And Jesus just turns to him and it's kind of like the mind your own business policy. And he says to him, Peter, mind your own business. You got nothing to do with what I'm going to do in John's life. You follow me. And I reckon that's a word to some Christians. Keep your eyes on the prize. The prophet Michael Jackson had it right. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. Woo! I'm asking him to change his ways. Come on. And no lesson could have been any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change. Na 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 na. You thought I was going to stop. All right. No. Oh, no. So we're not going to police the church. You know who's going to police C3 San Diego? Come on now. Yeah, yeah. You got it, girl. Thank you. You are going on the preaching roster. She knows. And we've had all these busybodies running people out of the church because they're not dressing how you deem appropriate or acting how you deem appropriate. Just remember, but for the grace, there I once was, there walketh I. I think I butchered that saying, but you get the gist, right? Come on now, we're going to be gracious. We accept people, but we love them enough to help them go on their own journey with Christ. Amen, Leanne. Point number two, we have a culture of transparency. You know, I think some Christian songs, a favorite song is, oh yes, I'm the great pretender. Ooh, pretending that I'm doing well. And okay, that's where you clap. I told you I was needy. Right, but isn't it true? Can I be honest with you for a second? I don't know how to be any other way, so I'm just going to go ahead and be honest. So here's the thing. When I first moved to America, being that I'm Australian for the next two or so weeks, we Australians are born with truth serum in their mouths. It was like when God was making the human race, he had like a little bit of truth serum and he gave everybody like an appropriate dose. And then, but with the Aussie race, it was like an overdose happened. And so try as they might, they cannot be anything but genuine or authentic. We're like Jim Carrey's character out of Liar Liar. I can't lie. Like we just can't. And one of the things that I noticed when we first moved to America was there was a culture out there that projected a certain image that was not an accurate representation of who the person truly was. On the outside, I'll protect this and that. Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. I've got an enormous Bible and a What Would Jesus Do bracelet. And I've got my fish on the back of my car and so on and so forth. But on the inside, they were really just a withered, lost little person that needed validation and was afraid to let the real them out. I want to say that at C3 San Diego, we take the mask down. We are not mask people, and we will take you how you come. And listen, we will help you become the person that God created you to be. So listen, you don't have to let the real you out to absolutely everybody. I'm just going to say that. Like I need to be transparent to absolutely everybody. Oh, hi, guess what I did this week? Ah, I suck at life. No. But there are some people that actually should really know your real struggles, your real issues. Look what the Bible says in the book of Psalms. Psalms 139, verse 23. This is David speaking. He says, search me, God. Somebody say me. And know my heart. Somebody say my. Test me. Say me. And know my. Somebody say my. Anxious thoughts. So at some point, our Christianity has to be all about us. It's not about you. At some level, it has to be. Because you matter to God. And we got to get real about where we really are standing in life so our very real God can take us out of where we are and into where we need to be. So we have to be a church that is committed to transparency. And listen, I want to say this to you today. Perhaps you've come into C3 San Diego because you've been in other churches and you've felt you've not been known. Nobody really knew me. Nobody really cared. Listen, it's easy to hide in a big church. And in order to be truly known, you have to make yourself knowable. You have to make yourself vulnerable. That's why we will carry on all the live long day about the importance of getting involved in a connect group. So we can be involved. So at least 10 or 12 people can have proper access into your life and to be able to be the voice of the Lord into your life. You know, I thank God for my husband. I love my husband so much. And I'm always transparent with him because I'm like, Jürgen, please help me not be a butthead. Like, the temptation to be and live as a butthead is enormous. True for me, true for you guys. Okay, it's going to be one of the greatest temptations we face. Okay, so I am constantly saying, hey, babe, this is how I'm feeling. Please help me realign my thoughts and my feelings with the Word of God. Correct me. Challenge me. I don't want to be a jerk. I don't want to have offense in my heart. Look, even driving here, I have been struggling with a bit of an issue about a situation that is not relevant, don't worry, to you guys, but very much to me. And I was driving along and I could feel like this offense and this hurt and this wound burning in my heart. And I prayed literally that prayer that David prayed. Oh God, search me and know me. Test my every anxious thought. See that there be no wicked way within me. God, I don't want to stay offended. I don't want to stay bitter. I don't want to allow the arrows that the enemy has sent to my heart have the final say. I want to rise above. And in order to be healed, we have to be transparent. What does the Bible tell us? Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Maybe you've never been in a church where there's been an environment for transparency. Well, friend, you're in the right place at the right time. Not only will we allow you to be vulnerable and transparent, we're going to pray for you and we're going to be committed to your healing in Jesus' name. But you've got to let yourself be known. Some of you you're going to have to change your modus operandi. You don't come into church and leave. Listen, church is not a place you attend. It is a family you belong to. Amen? And you can trust the shepherds that Pastor Jürgen and I have put in place of the flock. If I was someone living in Chula Vista, I would be thrilled to have these guys as my campus pastors. We trust them and you can too. And we're going to appoint leaders that you can trust in this place that will be ministers of the Spirit and help lead you into healing. But we've got to let the masks down. Can somebody say amen? You know, Jesus was a lot more brutal with people than we think. You know, you think Donald Trump's bad. Oh my gosh, have you read the New Testament? The entire chapter of Matthew 23 was him telling the fake, phony, religious Sadducees and Pharisees what time it is. He like spent like an entire chapter on it. That's a big deal. So he's like, you know what? Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. And in modern language, that's like, woe to you, bloggers and religious leaders and zealots. Like, because you wash the outside of the cup, but on the inside, it's full of filth and lawlessness and perversion. And we don't want to build a church like that, where you have to come to church every weekend and pretend. We want you to be the real you, because there's only one you. 7 billion people on planet Earth, there's only one you. And the world would lose if they didn't get to see the real you. God's happy with how he made you. He just wants you to get happy with how he made you. Somebody say amen. Amen, Leanne. I'm amening myself today. Right, point number three. We have a culture that embraces the word of God. We are a word church. Somebody get excited. We are a word church. That's right. Happy dance. We are a word church. We believe in the word of God. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord endures forever. In the midst of a culture, a progressive globalist culture that is constantly changing and pushing the boundaries of sin, the word of God never changes, and that must be our final authority. I don't care what the world has now decided is cool and current and progressive. If it doesn't line up with the word of God, we don't engage in it and we don't believe it and we don't preach it. And we don't change the word of God to suit our preferences. We allow the word of God to change us in Jesus' name. Come on, we've got to have a culture that embraces the word of God. Have you noticed the railing and the raging against the truth? And the Bible told us it would be so. In the last days, everybody who speaks up for righteousness will be attacked. Truth has fallen in the streets. Jesus said, "Blessed are you when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake." The inference there is that you would stand for righteousness. Not a one principle story, it's a two principle story. All right, what else do I want to tell you? Okay, Romans 12:2 says this: don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. I heard a former Christian minister who has now become a very divisive voice in the peripheral parts of the fragmented anti-church say this: church will continue to be even more irrelevant, when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago as its best defense. Okay, that guy's a moron. But furthermore, this book is more relevant than than today's newspaper, more relevant than any blog you may read, or someone's thoughts on where Christianity should go. This book is more relevant and powerful than it was even in the day it was written, and it still applies practically to our life today in the name of Jesus. We have to be defenders of the Word of God and defenders of truth and abhor what is evil and cling to what is good in Jesus' name. We need to know the Word of God in order to stand for it. Listen, in an ideas exchange in the world today, when everything's throwing in now, oh no, we just need to be more progressive. And they're likening the emancipation of the African American people, which had to happen and should have happened and was godly when it happened, to now it's the same thing as gay marriage. It's not the same thing. It's not at all. Not even slightly. And yet they try to twist and use people's ignorance, and the Bible says, my people perish or are destroyed through a lack of knowledge. So you stand in an argument like that, well, yeah, all right. I guess I'm the moron. I guess I'm the bigot. I just guess that I need to conform to the patterns of this world. No. Romans tells us plainly in Romans chapter 12, don't conform to the behaviors and customs of this world. God has a plan and he has a way, and you got to know it in order to stand for it. Listen, there have been times in, again, the exchange of ideas and the complaints about how irrelevant the church has been, where I've found myself doubting, God, am I just legalistic? Am I just unaware? Do I not know that things have shifted? And maybe I'm reading the Bible wrong. But you know, again, the Psalms has a perfect antidote for when we get confused and overwhelmed by the current that the world wants to take us on. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That is higher than I. Believe God over yourself. Believe the Word of God over yourself and your fears and your anxieties and your fears that you may be misunderstanding or irrelevant or afraid of being called a narrow bigot or whatever name is the flavor of the month that week. Grab a hold of the Word of God and let that elevate you and secure you. The Bible says that when you stand on the Word of God, that the storms will come, but when that storm is done, you will still be standing if you stand upon the rock. We are a church that embraces the Word of God. We don't dilute it. We don't pull words out in order to suit people's preferences. I find people that want to make amendments to the Word of God want to do so because they don't want to change their own behaviors and customs. It's like, maybe if I change the Word of God, I won't have to change. Ooh, that's not how it works, folks. It's not how it works. Here's the great thing. Holy Spirit is our helper, and he's given us the ability and empowerment to do what we cannot think that we can do in our own strength, in Jesus' name. Amen. You're getting awfully quiet. Feel free, if you're being challenged, to say, ouch. Yeah, there you go. All right. We have a culture of freedom through the Holy Spirit. Here's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Three in one, remember, Trinity. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. More than anything, I'm praying that C3 San Diego is a place where people can find freedom. You know, I grew up in a church that was very religious and taught that healing wasn't for today, that miracles weren't for today, that people being set free from demonic oppression wasn't for today. And hey, that philosophy suits you fine until you actually get sick and need to be healed, or you have a demon and you need to be delivered, okay? So I grew up in a family where my father is a wonderful Christian man, but very early in his marriage, before I was born, he suffered terribly from eating disorders. And it was almost like completely foreign in the time that he was a 20-year-old, 20-something. I guess it was like the 70s. And so they were still kind of working all this stuff out. He had three little girls at the time, was married to my mum, but the oppression, the demonic oppression that he was struggling with in his life became so severe that he could no longer be a father, no longer be a parent, and he tried to take his own life. He then ended up in a mental institution for a year. Again, he was raised in a church that said, you know, God doesn't deliver people from demons. In fact, a Christian can't have a demon, and yet he had them. He had voices talking to him 24 hours a day. So my mum and dad got a hold of a minister in our town, a Seventh-day Adventist minister who believed in God's power, the power of the Holy Spirit to deliver people from demonic oppression. They invited him over. He came over while my dad was sick and tormented, and he prayed for my dad, and he was powerfully delivered from the power of the enemy, and it changed his life forever. And in fact, the father I know is not even, like, I cannot even connect the dots between the one that he says he was to the man that he is today. I'm telling you, we cannot properly disciple people or build a healthy church or change the culture in our city without the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? I'm going to take a little bit further. If you're one of those people that sits at Starbucks in your skinny jeans, swelling your Starbucks, philosophizing about where the gifts have place in the church service, stop it. Stop doing it. Because just like Pastor Emma said, listen, the person that has had an experience is always going to trump the person with a theory. At the end of the day, if you've got need, understand that Jesus came to earth to fulfill the needs of humanity, fulfill the needs. He's a loving Savior. We serve a loving Father, and He will do anything to see His kids set free. Can somebody say amen? So we are a church that is going to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. We had a couple come to our church right in the beginning, and in one particular service, Pastor Jürgen was praying for people, and he was moving powerfully in the prophetic, and it was a really powerful time, but it had been really the first service where we'd had any kind of demonstration of the power of God. And then afterwards, this couple came up to us, and they said, listen, nobody does this here. You've got to understand, if you want to build a healthy church in San Diego, then you need to not do this. You can't pray for the sick. You can't pray for people to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can't. It's like they pulled out the entire book of Acts and 1st and 2nd Corinthians and, like, you know, reshuffled the Bible around. And they said to us, nobody does this here. And I tell you, it was like the voice of the enemy pointing a little bony, hellish finger in our direction. And my husband looked back at them and he said, well, listen, then that's why God sent us here. We're going to put a stake in the ground that we are a church that moves unashamedly in the power of the Holy Spirit, because people need it. And in order for us to properly disciple and set people free, we have to engage ourselves with the beautiful person of the Holy Spirit, who is the ultimate liberator. And listen, here's what I honestly think. I kind of don't blame them for having that philosophy, because some people's only exposure to the power of the Holy Spirit has been super weird. And it's not the Holy Spirit that's weird. It's people. People are weird. My gosh. So just so we can bring some context, if you start running around in a wedding dress, we're going to tackle you to the ground. We're going to take you outside. We would rather you come back in a bikini than a wedding dress. Just saying. I'm kidding. All right, I'm kidding. Tambourines, flags, no. Listen, the world is attracted to wonder, but they're repelled from weirdness. The Holy Spirit is not weird. The Holy Spirit is wonderful. And when you have a proper appropriation of the Holy Spirit in a service, it's wonderful. And people are set free. Bible tells us, regarding spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant. So many Christians are ignorant because they haven't sought for themselves. They've just believed a soundbite of some religious, legalistic person who decided to rip the whole book of Acts out. It's not how it should be. Holy Spirit is needed to make the church healthy and set people free. Amen. 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 That's probably enough for you to chew on there. 5, a culture of excellence. So there's a scripture in Samuel that you would all know. Yes, a big hearty amen. Up the front there. There's a scripture in Samuel that you would all know, and it's where the Bible says that God does not see as a man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And again, that's not a one principle scripture, that's a two principle scripture. So we know that God looks at the outward, at the heart, but man looks at the outward. So when people come to church, we've got to understand that they're not coming with the eyes of God, they're coming with the eyes of man. And so we have to be a church and a people that are committed to excellence. So listen, the prevailing spirit over our city may not be one of excellence, but we're called to live above and not be culture conformers, but culture shifters or culture setters in Jesus' name. That means we're going to be excellent people. We're going to be on time. Punctuality is the virtue of princes. So we turn up to places on time, so it doesn't mean that our kids miss out on sports games and they're always being left out. In fact, I wonder how many opportunities we've missed out on, as gifted and talented and genius as we are, because we haven't carried a spirit of excellence. When it comes to our church, something's broken at C3 San Diego, we're going to fix it. We're not going to let it stay broken. And I would say, what's true for the church? Let it be appropriated in our own lives. If you've got something covered in holes, either fix it or replace it. Yes. Don't wear socks with holes in them. Yes. Toss out the underwear that has the holes. You're better than that. You're bigger than that. I don't care if you're buying it from Walmart. Just make sure it's in good repair. Because here's what I found. I found that the way you dress really determines the way you're going to behave. And the environments we're in will determine the behavior of the people around us. That's why Rudy Giuliani, as smart as he was in New York, they had a policy where there was like graffiti and broken windows, and the previous mayor would be like, well, they're just going to break them again. We won't fix them. And Rudy Giuliani's like, no, we're going to keep fixing the windows. We're going to keep taking off the graffiti until the culture of the city changes. So you could come under and say, well, everybody's like this here, or you could live above in Jesus' name. Yep. Glory, hallelujah. Some of you have been living beneath when God is wanting you to live above. Oh, well, everybody dresses like this here. Everybody wears their slippers out to the grocery store. I'm not talking about being relaxed and having makeup-free days. You don't have to feel like you have to put on the diamond tiara and the taffeta ball gown when you go down the street. Right? But I'm just talking about having a level of respect that tells the word, I respect you and I respect myself, therefore you can respect me back. Yeah. Doesn't that sound good? Yeah. And the Bible tells us in the book of Daniel that Daniel was promoted not because he was the smartest, not because he had the best resume, but because an excellent spirit was found in him. Christian, you can pray all the live long day, but the promotion is not going to come to you because of your prayers. It's going to come to the person with the most excellent spirit. So a culture that we are determined to have at C3 San Diego is one of excellence. In Jesus' name, I pray you're not going to come in here and have smelly, damp carpets and stains everywhere and be dropping your kids off in the kids' church going, oh, dear God, I hope they don't get tetanus or something along those lines. Because the Bible says, oh God, my God, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Can we be a church? Can we be a people that properly represents the excellence of our God? Can somebody say amen? Amen. It's getting quiet in here. It's getting quiet. You know, I'm preaching to myself too. Now listen, excellence is not a condition of your wallet. It's a condition of your heart. Don't fall for the devil's whammy that tells you you can't be excellent because you're poor. No, the Bible tells us if you're faithful with the little you have, God will increase it. When you're faithful and you look after that little apartment that you're paying $1,200 a month for and you treat it like a palace, I'm telling you, God will reward you. God will open up his hand and increase what is put in your hand. Listen, I've seen apartments that have been kept like palaces and palaces that have been kept like ghettos. It's all about the spirit that is in you. Do you have an excellent spirit? Okay, next point. We are a culture that is generationally minded. Doesn't matter what age or stage of life you are at C3 San Diego, we need you. We need you. And what happens in here is not more important than what happens in our kids' church, and what happens in our youth ministry is not more important than what happens here. We're all in this together. Okay? Bible tells us that God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And those of you who know your Bible will know that there's not a period in between each of those names. There's a comma. In other words, the generations are meant to hold hands. Do not buy into the devil's lie. We got the boomers hating the millennials and the millennials thinking the boomers are annoying and nobody likes the little kids. And then, you know, we're all dysfunction junction. But it's the plan of the enemy to bring division. That's how he works. He's divider in chief. He split heaven in half. Make a determined effort to get along with the generation above and the generation beneath, because we can't do it without each other. Heard a beautiful principle about the redwood forest in Northern California, about three different types of redwoods, the little saplings that were just growing, the maturing trees about 30, 40 years of age, and the big old redwoods that were like centuries old. And the amazing thing about this forest is that their root system was not so much deep as it was wide. And it was so wide that the roots of every tree would intertwine. So when storms came to and threatened to take down the trees, the root system below, intertangled between the three generations of trees, would hold everything together. We're all in this together. That's right, I'm going to do it. Yeah, you betcha I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And you're going to remember what I'm doing, because I'm going to sing and I'm going to dance on my way through this message. So you remember when that millennial annoys the heck out of you and comes in with his ripped jeans and his holy t-shirt and his cap in the house of God, that you can do it, because we're all in this together. All right. I'm singing better than you're applauding. All right, we keep moving. Minute 30. We have a culture of generosity. The culture of this world is fear, lack, and shortage. Hoard up for yourself because there is a limited supply. We don't have a resource problem. We have a generosity problem. Here's what Proverbs 11:24-25 says. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. Lord, helped me. Okay, so there's a prevailing culture out there of entitlement. And isn't that an ugly one? How many of you have encountered that spirit of entitlement, whether in you or around you? It's an ugly one. Okay, so the antidote to entitlement is generosity. Making a decision, I am going to be a giver and not a taker. So I want to put this out there. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you an appropriate level of generosity for you to engage in for your current situation. Now, all of us are not going to be able to take somebody out for dinner, take someone to lunch, or, you know, buy them groceries. Some of us can. Maybe that's your appropriate level. But for others of us, we've been so stuck up in a stingy mindset, we've stayed small, we've stayed helpless, and our world has gotten smaller and smaller. Because every time we go out, somebody else has to pay. We never put our hand in the pocket. Hey, maybe it's your turn to at least buy somebody coffee. Maybe instead of praying today, God, fulfill my need, you say, God, how can I fulfill the need of another? That's how we're going to change the world, through generous acts. An act of kindness and generosity in some cases is greater than a miracle. Remember my husband, and I'll kind of shut down a little bit with this story. I want to talk about generosity as it relates to encouragement, because we live in a very discouraged world. Have you noticed? People need the gift of encouragement in their everyday lives. And sadly, we've kind of believed this prevailing spirit that if I tell you you're beautiful, then somehow it means that I'm less beautiful. Confused emoji. If I tell you you did a great job, then somehow it means I didn't do a good job. I didn't do a great job. A compliment I give you in some way is a subtraction of me. True for encouragement, true for giving financially, but the Bible says those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Every time you are generous with your money, generous with your time, generous with your encouragement, you don't shrink, you don't decrease, and the devil's such a liar, he's the king of fake news, you increase in Jesus' name. You increase. You want to talk about revival in San Diego? If we just get that. Before you remember today from that lady in black with the awesome shoes on the stage, if all you remember today is encouragement, my gosh, San Diego will stream into the house of God. They will say, oh, the house of God is the most important place on earth. Oh, let us go up to the house of God. They won't say it with begrudging mentality, but with excitement and passion, because the word of God has changed our lives and we've gone out to the city and changed them in Jesus' name. Oh, the world is in need of encouragers. Such desperate need. My wonderful husband, who I adore, is probably one of the greatest encouragers on the planet. Like, amazing. There is not a waiter or a waitress or a barista in San Diego that he's met that has not been forever changed because of his presence. So we would go to our local Starbucks, okay, because we support the local work. Somebody say amen. So we used to, this was about 5 years ago, and we'd encounter the same barista every time. And we walk into Starbucks, and we saw our regular barista, and it looked like she had been crying or was about to cry. You know how you can tell that people are just on the verge of tears? And so I'm really good at pretending, because I'm like, come from a family of politicians. I'm really good at pretending that the elephant in the room is not there. And I can be like, elephant? What elephant? Let's talk about the weather. Okay, so I'm good at I can do that, right? But my husband, like, no. He's like, walks into the room. What's this flipping elephant doing in here, right? He'll call it out straight away. So he walks in and I'm seeing this girl on the verge of tears, and I'm like, okay, just order, move on, don't make any sudden moves, you know, just keep going, awkward, awkward. But Jürgen walks in, he's like, you look like you've been crying. What's wrong? And of course, the avalanche of tears comes immediately. She starts to cry. We found out that the previous customer had been really mean to her, like insulting and rude and just horrendous, and the words had pierced her heart. And he goes, stretch out your hand. This is what Jürgen said to the barista, stretch out your hand. I'm like, okay, we're getting ready to have some Jesus in Starbucks today, okay? She puts out her hand, he grabs her hand, and he looks in her eyes. He says, you are amazing. Your smile lights up the world. You are my favorite barista. Don't worry, honey. Hurting people hurt people. You're going to be okay. We love you. And I'm telling you, it was like the therapy she needed. You know what? We didn't need a PhD to do it. Didn't need to go to university. All we needed to do was let the culture on the inside of us not be undermined by the culture we walked into, but rise above in Jesus' name. You are a culture shifter. You are a culture setter. You don't need to have the cultures of this city that want to keep people down preside over you. You are going to carry the culture of the kingdom into a world that desperately needs to see a correct representation of Jesus, of Christians, and the church. Thank you. And he didn't stop there. He went and he got a card from Vons and he wrote in it, you know, we love you. You're our favorite barista. You've got the best smile. Here's a $25 gift card for iTunes. And I'm telling you, it just changed a day. My gosh, the world is so encouragement sick and poor. Oh, man, we can change our city with a bit of joy, a bit of love. Most people are just missing just the fact that nobody's ever told them they're doing a good job. That's why we're assaulted on Instagram every single day by so many freaking selfies. I mean, I can barely stand it. It's like, I love you, but you're annoying me with how many shots I have to see of you doing this. Somebody tell me I'm beautiful. Somebody tell me I'm good. Somebody tell me I'm valuable. It's our fault, because we've been negligent at the point of encouragement. So people have to go trawling social media for someone to tell them they look good. It shouldn't be that way. And listen, if you post those, rock on with your bad self. I will always like them and leave a comment. Okay, so I'm not judging those people. What I'm saying is, it is a symptom of a world that is encouragement sick and needing praise and affirmation. And isn't that what we carry? Freely you have received. Now freely give. My gosh, you won't need to hand out a Bible tract or lie to someone to get them to church. They'll just follow you because you're so amazing and you do their self-esteem good in Jesus' name. I'm over time, but that's a little bit of a snippet of who we are. We're so glad that you're here. We're so glad that you've come. We're going to go into this world and we're going to make disciples. And we're going to teach them everything that He has commanded us, and know that, lo, He is with us even to the end of the age. Jesus loves you. Jesus is with you. And you were born for such a time as this. Stop wishing you're in a different generation and a different era. You are this generation's Esther, and you're going to make a change. You're not an extra in this world. You've got a main part. I don't care that you've been in other churches that have devalued what the gifts that lay on the inside and the gold that lay on the inside of you. Give us a chance to show you a true representation of what a healthy house of God looks like. Cast your burdens down. Put aside your predispositions and all the old ways and embrace the new thing. Don't consider the former things or get stuck in the past. For behold, I do a new thing, Isaiah prophesied. God's going to do something new. It will spring forth. Shall you not know it? And not only is it going to change your life, it's going to change others' lives through you. That's the kind of church that I see. Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet. I'm going to pray for you. Then I'm going to hand back to Pastor Drew. Lift your hands to the Lord. Father, I thank you for this church. Father, what a privilege it is to serve in your house. Father, what a privilege it is to be your ambassadors. Father, just as your son spoke in the book of Matthew, Father, God, he said for us to stand and shine so that all men would see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Father, let our works glorify you. In areas where we have come under, let us reign over. In areas where we have come under the culture of the city, under the negativity, under the discouragement, under an average spirit, under less than, we pray today in the name of Jesus that we would rise above. We declare today that these men and women of God are above and not beneath. They are the head and not the tail. In Jesus' mighty name, that they would go out and understand that they are culture shifters and culture setters in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Give God a shout.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.